Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
All right, a lot of ticket texts on the Lions, phone calls as well. What did Jamaica last night, and how does it impact Detroit? Vikings go down. Sam Darnold with a reverse Matt Flynn. And Flores defense, maybe not as scary as people thought. But are the Rams suddenly the biggest threat in the NFC? Prisoner of the moment, you tell us, 248-539-9797. We also want to talk about the Pistons.
Mm-hmm.
And just candidly, pre-show, we're talking about, hey, what do we want to do? It's, you know, every day we're going to talk Lions, and we've got Lions tickets on Friday to give away, if you missed that note. But Tom said, hey, if we're going to celebrate what the Wings have been doing, let's not leave the Pistons out of this. So you got open lines. If you want to talk about what Cade's doing, why they're suddenly winning, or if you haven't bought in yet, like, what do they got to do to get more respect? Because I feel like, yeah, we got to start talking about them a little more.
And I'm curious as to what people think about what's been the biggest reason for the turnaround.
Yeah.
14 wins last year. They're already at 21. They're sitting in the eighth seed right now in the Eastern Conference, and they're a heartbeat away. They're closer to being in the top six than they are of being outside the play-in tournament.
Mm-hmm.
And so they are starting to really solidify themselves as a quality team. I'm not going to sit there and say a good team or a great team, but a quality team that has to be accounted for every time they play because they can go out there and win. Is it JB? Is it Cade and his development? Is it Tobias Harris? Is it Hardaway Jr.? Like, what is the biggest reason? Or is it just Trajan Langdon?
Yeah, I feel like nobody talks about Trajan Langdon.
Yeah.
You know, I know he's not playing, he's not dribbling, he's not coaching, but he came in and it was a mess.
There's some competency running the organization, and I know it takes some time. We talked about Brad Holmes early on because the draft picks have an instant impact. And Penei Sewell, Amon-Ra St. Brown, like they had instant impact. You don't get that instant impact from a draft, or for decisions that are made right away, but it really feels like a lot of this team is just being built with competency from the top.
So the biggest reason that they have a winning record right now, the biggest reason that they're worth talking about during a week where the Lions are gearing up for a playoff game is Cade Cunningham. But I think how we got here is so important. Cade on the ascent doesn't happen in a vacuum by itself.
Right.
Like he was going to get better the more he played, needed to stay healthy, grow into the body a little bit. And he uses his size and he is a problem for smaller guards, especially when he gets in the lane. How they got him to this level? Well, I think Malik Beasley is a huge reason Cade Cunningham is blossoming. Malik Beasley is a knockdown shooter most nights. There's some floor spacing. Tim Hardaway Jr., that's a veteran. That's some floor spacing. Mm-hmm. A Tobias Harris slow start, but it gives him a little bit of offensive flexibility. All of a sudden, Cade can breathe. Exhale. There's a little bit of space to create, to grow, to get to that next level. So why is this working? I think Langdon putting shooting around Cade Cunningham. And that's not the takeaway from Bickerstaff. I mean, it's just such a clear upgrade from Monty Williams. Yep. It goes without saying. But how would you guys define it? 248-539-9797. Let's get to Laz in Detroit. Laz, you're on 97.1.
Hey, guys.
What's up?
I think the spacing is definitely a big part of it, but also Cade's made a big jump in his play. He's better as a pull-up three-point shooter. He's a better distributor, but, like, the better distributor goes hand-in-hand with the shooting, right? But I definitely think he's been an all-star, maybe even all-NBA level this year. Tyrese Halliburton not playing as great this season. Tyrese Maxey not playing as great this season. Even Trae Young. Leading the league in assists, but the Pistons are above the Hawks in the standings. Like, I don't know. I think it's been Cade development more so than it's been the difference, we'll say, in talent that they put around him.
Yeah, I mean, it's chicken and the egg at that point. Like, he's not turning it over as much because he has the room to breathe. He can create his own shot a little better.
Mm-hmm.
And I agree with the point that, like, how many guards in the East are better than him? I mean, he really is cutting into not only All-Star territory, but more.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, the way that he's played, the way he's developed, even the change that we've seen in him, and maybe it's just being comfortable with the staff, with his teammates, but the difference between what we're seeing right now, 40 games in, versus what we saw in his first 3 years.
Yeah.
It's night and day.
Texter says, I think the coaching change is the biggest thing. They didn't want to play for Monty, and he didn't want to be here. Now they look engaged, passionate. I will be going to Detroit early Saturday to watch both the Lions and the Pistons in person. It's January in the D.
That song is not going to get made, right?
No.
No.
It can't.
No.
Keep your reader down, Jerome. You're right to the point on the air, okay?
No. That ends everything. I just said to King and Doug, somebody text that in, and if that happens and that song gets made, that's the new priority patch.
You think that would really throw off the mojo?
Yes. Or if we start celebrating Hooper's birthday.
Oh, no. Look, we got Pistons calls and Lions calls. We're going to work in both of them in this hour. They're both playing Saturday, a little double dip. Let's get to Jerome in Detroit. You're on 97.1. Hey, good morning, Jerome.
Jerome.
All right, well.
Yep.
Oh.
Hold
on. I didn't hang up on him. So I put him on hold. Jerome, redemption right here. Let's go.
Yeah, I was just calling to say that the Pistons started winning when Jaden Ivey went out. So I'm thinking, like, and they played better. So do you think that maybe he was holding Cade back a little bit? Yeah, he was playing good in our eyes. But as far as the W's, we're getting the W's without him. So do you think maybe we can trade Ivey and get a big man that can do a little more scoring than Jaden, than Durin, and get rid of Ivy, because we're doing all right without him right now. So what y'all think?
Well, I don't remember the date that Jaden went down, but I do know that before he did, they started winning. They had that four-game road trip, Phoenix, L.A., Sacramento, Denver. They only lost to Denver. That was with Ivy. They beat Orlando at home. That was with Ivy. He was the leading scorer at 22.
And he got hurt, I think, shortly thereafter.
Right.
Yeah. I would put it like this. I think he can work with Cade.
Yeah.
I wouldn't tell you, though, that he is untradeable. In other words, if the Pistons get to the deadline and want to buy and they can get a more proven running mate for Cade Cunningham, you know, it's one of those deals where you have to give to get.
Yeah.
I don't think he's bolted down. Could I put it that way?
No. I mean, he's not going anywhere because he's hurt.
Fair. My point is a team that's cashing out. They've got like a star player that's
sure
that they're giving away and they're rebooting. Mm-hmm. You're not necessarily trying to chase anything this year. I don't know. Maybe it's an off-season conversation.
I think it is at this point. The injury complicates things. But I don't think there's anybody that's untouchable other than Cade.
Yeah. And it's interesting too how the conversation changed. Before the year, you thought, okay, Beasley is kind of a band-aid. Tobias Harris could be flipped to a contender. If the market's not there, Trajan Langdon could say, hey, we might want to add a little bit here. We got the cap space. We can absorb somebody. It might not be a, you know, a true running mate for Cade, but it could be a nice little piece to not only be in a play-in or, you know, an eight seed, but try to lock up a six and try to be a team that could pull off a first-round upset in the NBA playoffs.
It's not out of the realm of possibility that by the time they get to the trade deadline, they are already in that sixth spot.
Yeah. Well, then solidify it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is crazy. Like,
so, yeah, because I can't imagine. And we all thought the concept was, hey, bring in Hardaway, bring in Beasley, bring in Tobias Harris so that they could be, you know, pieces at the trade deadline. I can't imagine that you would be, you know, in that top six or near that top six, you would sell and trade out of that position to make yourself worse. Like, the whole point is to win and get in. And you could improve yourself in the offseason. But, hey, if these pieces are all working together, keep winning.
I think it would be a great spot to be in if you're Trajan Langdon. I think he had said last week that they're ahead of schedule, further ahead than he thought they would be. And it does let you go, hey, you know what?
Let's see what we can do this year.
Makes phone calls we never thought we'd be able to make.
Yeah.
Let's get back to those phones. Joe in a truck, you're on 97.1.
Good morning, fellas.
What's up?
My brother likes to say that I'm in the hotel of overconfidence with this one. Well, book me in the presidential suite. Washington does not scare me. One of the best teams that ever assembled. I mean, the running game, we have the best rushing defense one of the best in the game. You got Brian Johnson, who's just average at best. He's all right. They got scary Terry McLaughlin. That's not scary. All it takes is one hit from a Curtis Joseph or a Branch, and he's out. Philadelphia does not scare me at all because you got one player that you really, really have to watch. That's Saquon Barkley. Is he going to get his? Absolutely, he's going to get his. But you just have to make sure other people don't get theirs, you know. In my opinion, I think that the Rams are just slightly better than Philly. I know I'll get a lot of blowback, but I think they're a little bit more balanced than Philadelphia. That will be a fun NFC Championship game. We're gonna sack Matty Staty about three or four times and win that like 38-37 in one of the best games, the NFC Championship game this league has ever seen. But don't worry about Washington. I mean, you're smoking something if you think they have any chance. They don't. So you guys have a good day, and go Lions!
What a journey that phone call was that we all got to go on together. Why is Curtis Joseph playing safety for the Lions? And by the way, if it is a one-point game in the NFC title between the Rams and the Lions, yeah, people are going to need like their heart to get restarted.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness.
Is Terry McLaughlin related to Sarah?
Yes. Cousin twice removed.
Scary Sarah.
But he says not afraid of the Commanders.
No. No, nor should you be. There should
be afraid of the Eagles or the Rams either. They're just bigger threats.
A healthy respect of playing in the game. But no, they do not strike fear into you.
So we've got that for you guys. Lions fans clearly ought to talk about game week. Playoffs are here last night, clearly reshaping the NFC a little bit. You know who you're playing and might have a preference for who you're playing after that. And Pistons fans, I've enjoyed the early returns on this. Let's keep talking about our basketball team. What do they need to do to get a little more respect? Are you starting to pay attention? It's 97.1.